The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
It's recording. Yeah, good to be with you all. I want to share a story and then bring a topic in for today. When I was at a chaplaincy training, a Sati Center chaplaincy training some years ago, and I was practicing chaplaincy training at Kaiser Hospital, and my internship was to meet with a group of advanced stage cancer patients when I go there. And after some time, it just got really difficult, as I don't think I've ever in my life before then met people who just, no doubt, they're dying one after another. And it got really difficult when, and there was a young woman in her 30s, and I think a stage 3-4 breast cancer with a young kid. At the time, I had a young son. And I would meet her every time I went there for chaplaincy training, and I would just be nervous and anxious, and I had this thought, you know, wow, this could happen to me. You know, who said it wouldn't happen to me? And it was very difficult. You know, I'd find myself sitting there anxious in my heart and in my being. And I, at some point, I thought, I can't do this. I can't do this work. This is too hard. And so I did have, you know, some wisdom insight, and I decided I'm going to check with my teacher, Gil. And so I was at this a family retreat in Spirit Rock, and so this one morning he was teaching that family retreat, and my son and I were there. And one morning I grabbed Gil after the breakfast, and we sat on the bench outside of the kitchen in Spirit Rock. I told him about what was happening, and I was so certain. I told him, I can't do this work anymore. And Gil said, he looked at me, he said, I'm just going to add one word in what you told me. And he said, you currently can't do this. And that all of a sudden shifted the whole thing for me. And I just realized, oh, I was just making a grand conclusion about my whole capacity to be in this field, just like that. But with just one word, currently, it's changed my perspective. I thought, oh, yeah. It changed my perspective in two ways. One, that this is not a permanent thing. It just, it is really difficult right now. But it's just what's happening right now. It doesn't mean 5 months later, I can't do the same work. It doesn't mean that I can't ever do this work. It just means right now it's difficult. And so there is this acceptance of where I was, but that there is also not additional judgment and projection on how it'll be. That was so helpful. And so I felt acknowledged, And I made some changes in my internship, and so I wasn't, and I reduced my frequency so that I can regroup and resource myself in between my visits, hospital visits. But I didn't just completely stop it because I think I can't do it. And I just incorporated some changes and so that I can find my grounds in the midst of the difficulties. And then over time, I found myself having more and more capacities to be doing this work, and that I gradually went back to do the internship and to continue that line of work. And so this story is where I what leads me to today's topic, which is working with the judging mind. We all, you know, most of us all have a judging mind. Some are overly active. Some are maybe, you know, not so active. But this judging mind is something for us to come to a healthy relationship with. And I found a dictionary definition about judging. It says it forms an opinion or conclusion about. So we all know this mind, that is the key characteristics of judging mind is it's absolutely conclusive. There's no other way but this. And it can function at very microscopic level. It can be that I'm just, I can't get concentrated. You know? That's a conclusion that we sometimes box ourselves up. And once we say that, our whole perspective with how we're meditating gets locked in. I can't do that. You know, I can't get concentrated. I'm always going to be fragmented. And so there's no way that I, you know, otherwise. And so that's the conclusion that can happen. And that can happen at a grand level in terms of judging ourselves in a bigger way. That, you know, can be judging ourselves and others. I'll talk a little bit about others. That I'm always angry. I'm always obsessive about XYZ. And when we have this kind of a judgment, what happens is it blocks us to see us in any other way. And if you reflect about this, it's actually really hard to be always angry. It can't be dumb because our system were not set up to actually always be angry. But when this judgment is there, we don't give ourselves a chance to look at ourselves in other ways. And so this conclusion, opinion, belief is putting a big blinder on ourselves. And it's quite narrowing, and maybe I would even use the word it imprisons ourselves. And then the other aspect of the judging mind is it often comes with a sense of selfing. And the kind of conclusion is not just that, you know, anger is always here, but it's me. You know, I can't be any other way. And so there is a sense of me gets inserted in this. And so we get identified by the specific situations that may be happening or certain characteristics that may be happening at a certain time. Like, you know, the characteristic of my chaplaincy training for that period of time is it's difficult. It's really, you know, I'm anxious, but it's just a characteristic of that situation. It's not who I am. And yet, the judging mind can take that as an identification. That's who I am. I'm obsessive. Obsessive may be a characteristic of certain moments of the day, but we get identified by it. Well, that's who I am. And so in both ways, this can be very narrowing for ourselves, and our life can become constricted, limited. One of the ways to practice with the judging mind, I know on one form of retreats that a teacher would actually invite us to take vows to refrain from judging as best as we're able. It's always as best as we're able because it's going to happen. So we're only doing it as best as we are able as a practice. And that's one way to practice with this is maybe from time to time, take this up as a practice to refrain from judging as best as I may, as best as I'm able. And it takes us, it encourages us to practice in a way where we can begin to pay attention to when this comes up. And so it allows us to become more present in our experience and noticing, oh, judging mind is here. And then once you notice that this is here, you recognize it, you meet it, and you can say, oh, thank you, but no thank you. And so I can let it go for now. And so this is maybe a meaningful practice, both on the cushion and off cushion, because I am aware how much the judging mind happens both on the cushion and off cushion. And so the invitation for today is maybe allow this to be kind of a daily life practice, but also a practice on the cushion. And then noticing this and let loose of judging yourself and judging others. Yeah. So thank you, everybody. And